A reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all of that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, who knew not Joseph. And he said to his people, "Behold, the people of the children of Israel are mightier and more than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that where there falleth out any war, they also join unto our enemies and fight against us. So get them up out of the land." Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. And the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiprah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, "When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him, but if it be a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but save the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, "Why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive?" And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come unto them." Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We begin the story of the Exodus with genocide, with this attempt to exterminate the children of Israel, the male children of Israel, for obvious reasons, so that they won't be a threat to the king of Egypt should someone else invade. It's strange that this Pharaoh would so quickly abandon Joseph and his family. He is talked about a little bit differently in Exodus than he is in Genesis, the office of Pharaoh. He's called the king of Egypt a lot more in Exodus than he is in Genesis. And it might mean that there's a different dynasty. Might mean that someone else invaded Egypt and set up themselves and they don't remember all the good stuff that Joseph did. Or it just might be what always happens in politics, is that when someone's not useful anymore, they're gone and you don't really care about what they did. This is a word of caution to all of those of us, including myself, who works in institutions. But institutions, are glad you're there and they want you to work and you get it done. and you give your life for it, and there will come a time where they will not remember you. Even if they put a statue of you out front, they will still not remember you. All the stuff that you did, more than likely, will be part of the whole. It will not be probably recognized in proportion to your sacrifice. A word to the wise for all of those of us that toil in institutions, whether it's the church, whether it's the government, whether it's a company. And we ought to think about these things when we are in crises, when we are crisis, when we are in making decisions or discerning what we should do with our lives. Just remember that there will come a Pharaoh who does not know Joseph. And whatever we did will be part of that whole, but it will not necessarily be a permanent policy of the institution. So we work in institutions, we care for each other. Institutions are still probably the best way to form community and to get things done in the world. We need our government, we need our church, and we need a lot of other things in life to function. But ultimately, we must be wary of the sacrifice that we are giving in proportionate to what we expect back. And here, Joseph, his time has run out. His memory is no longer present in the institution. So this enslavement of God's people, this genocide against their children, is an attempt to wipe them out. It is an attempt to destroy them from the face of the earth. It is this story that Jewish people carry all the way through the Old Testament when Nebuchadnezzar comes around. They carry this through all the intertestamental period when the Greek kings of the north, the Seleucid Empire, come into Jerusalem to exterminate them as well. And Jewish people today carry these stories with them when they are talking about those who wish to rid them from the earth, of which Christian nations have been part of that over time. But this is the story of the people of God, of which we are part of as Christians. Christians do claim that we are part of this story, that we are in the story of the Exodus because Jesus was ultimately in the story of the Exodus. He himself, on the Mount of Transfiguration, claimed, or was written about him, that he spoke about his Exodus with Moses and Elijah. This is the event that he was talking about, an event in his own life that paralleled the events we're going to read about in the book of Exodus, and that is his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That was Jesus's Exodus, and it is a parallel to the events here. And it starts with this attempt at extermination, just as Jesus' life did as well, when Herod tried to exterminate him and all the other children, boy children of Jerusalem and Bethlehem and the surrounding area. So here it is, these two midwives, Shipra and Pua, one of the few named characters in the story. And we don't know a lot about them except for this conversation with Pharaoh. They are ordered very directly by Pharaoh, it seems, to destroy and kill the boy babies who come out of the wombs of their mothers. This horrific responsibility is placed on them. But they feared God. Again, when you deal with an institution, no matter which one it is, could be a good institution, could be a more less than good institution, but whatever institution you deal with, there will come a time where you will be told to do something evil. I don't care what institution it is, even the church. And you'll be told to do something evil, something you know is wrong. And this is where, for the most part, you won't be. And you ought to do a good job and do your best and work hard and those kinds of things. We all ought to do that. But there will come a time when someone will ask you to do something evil that you know is wrong. And it might be a little gray. It might be a little, you know, not as clear, black and white as we might like to think. Maybe in this case it was pretty black and white. But that's when you have to fear God. And they feared God more than they were afraid of the king. No matter how much power and authority the kings of the earth, the presidents of the earth, the CEOs of the earth, or whoever they are, wield their authority, they're not as scary as God. We ought to be scared of God more than these men who wield this authority. And that's what Shipwa and Pua are. They're more scared of what God will do to them if they kill these babies. They are there in the situation. God has called them to it, and they are courageous in the middle of that situation. They refuse to kill these babies. They refuse to throw them alive into the Nile River. And they don't care if they live or die. But they also try to save their own life. When Pharaoh comes knocking to try to figure out if they've followed what he's told them to do, they make it very clear that they did their best. They lie to the king and say, you know, these Hebrew women, they're not like the Egyptian women. They have babies really fast. By the time we get there, it's too late, and we can't do anything about it. They're already born. And so Pharaoh's attempt to exterminate the people of God is foiled by two women. That's all it takes to foil the evil schemes of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, the most powerful country in the world. We might think that what we do isn't very influential, doesn't make much difference. But these are the stories that we turn to when we ask that question. And the answer is yes, our actions do make a difference. Everything we do makes a big difference in the big picture of life. And so, you know, chances are you're not being asked to do something like this today. Most of us probably won't be. But we remember this story. And we remember that if it comes to this, we have to remember that we deal with God ultimately. God is our ultimate judge. And everything we do will be judged by God. And the judgments of this world, of Pharaoh, etc., are not as important as the judgment of God. And God blesses them. Shipwa and Pua have houses. What that means is they have descendants. They become dynasties of their own. Pharaoh's dynasty is no longer around. It's gone. By the end of this book, it'll be over. He will be drowned in the Red Sea. Remember, he wanted to drown all those babies? Well, that's where Pharaoh ends up himself. And Shipwa and Pua will have dynasties of their own. They will have a family that is greater than Pharaoh's family will ever be, if that's how we're keeping score. And it seems like that's what the writer of Exodus wants us to remember. So no matter what happens, they do the right thing, and they lie about it to save their life and to prolong their ministry, and they get it, and God deals with them with blessing. And so again, we don't owe the truth to evil people that are seeking to do these babies harm. We don't owe that to anybody, because what they're not asking for, they're not asking for the truth. They're asking for an opportunity to do more evil. And we resist that evil with these midwives, and thank God for them and their lives and their descendants, which are still among us. They are still among us, and they always will be. Amen. When I was an army chaplain, my soldiers asked me all kinds of questions about God, life, relationships, the Bible, and I answered them as best I could. They also called me Padre. Welcome to the Dear Padre podcast. I'm glad you're here.